You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Let's get into our mental health chat. We're still talking about eating disorders, and today we're focusing on building a healthier relationship with food. Now, in this world of diets, clean eating, and detox teas, having a normal relationship with food can feel revolutionary, right? Today, we explore what it means to eat intuitively, to listen to your body, and remove guilt from meals. We'll challenge cultural beliefs around food and weight and morality, and discuss how relearning food neutrality is central to recovery and lifelong wellness. Yolanda Lindeke from the Vista Clinic joins us once again for the conversation. Yolanda, good morning. Welcome back to the program.
Good morning, Bongi. Always a pleasure being with you.
Happy Friday to you. It's been a week.
Yes, woo-woo. Happy Friday to all of you as well.
Absolutely. Now, Yolanda, how has modern diet culture distorted our relationship with food?
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to try not to get angry during today's podcast. We're going to try like really hard.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, modern diet culture has shifted the focus from nourishment to restriction, appearance and quick fixes.
Yeah.
So it's so many things have been demonized. So many things like eating a burger, or, you know, we throw these words around like, oh, it's got MSG. We can't have that. And it teaches us to label foods as good or bad, which creates guilt and anxiety around eating. Instead of listening to our bodies, many people now follow these external rules or trends, often leading to this yo-yo dieting, binge restriction cycles, and a sense of failure when the plan, when the diet can't be maintained or it doesn't work.
Mm.
And then the mindset erodes trust in our own hunger and fullness cues.
Mm.
So we stop listening to our bodies. We believe these TikTok videos and social media videos that tell us, you know, you have to drink this type of water or eat this type of food, and you need to stay away from that. And you need to, we need to detoxify. Oh, if I hear we need to detox one more time, I am going to, I'm going to scream. It's your body is perfectly made. It has organs and systems to detox.
Mm.
You do not need to detox.
Yeah.
You have your kidneys, you have your liver, that you have organs that do these things. So unfortunately, we live in a society of multi-billion dollar industries for vitamins, minerals, and health shortcuts, and they are sometimes no more than charlatan potions trying to make us feel like we're doing something to help our bodies, but they're actually just great marketing tools, and we have to be really careful for that, because the psychological effect of that is that we distrust ourselves, we distrust our bodies, and we demonize and label food, which can cause so much harm.
When, you know, I can feel your frustration, and I'm trying to hold myself back as well, because I remember not too long ago, one of my kids got a hold of a smartwatch, and she's playing around with it. I think she went for a walk around the complex, and then when she got back, she's like, oh, I only burnt this many calories. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You went for a walk. That, you did a good thing. Why are you... When did we start doing this? Where did this come from? And I immediately, I was just like, no, absolutely not. We're not doing this. I don't want this to become a thing. Like, why are you even, you went for a walk. You did a good thing. And now it's like, it's not good enough because it was only this many calories. No.
I agree with you. And it angers me sometimes so much. And you know, some of the advice that we receive, you know, they are rooted in some truth. And to some degree, yes, maybe some of these things may help.
Yeah.
But do your research. And it's just so easy to get, especially if you suffer from a mental illness, especially if you suffer from eating disorders, to get fixated on these. So stay away.
Absolutely.
Stay away.
Absolutely. Even the whole thing, like what you're talking about, that there might be some truth to it. I remember the whole thing about getting 10,000 steps a day. I take it as, and I suppose maybe a healthy person would take it as, just move your body, you know, don't be sedentary all day. Be intentional about moving your body. But then sometimes it becomes so obsessive, like, oh, I only got 9,500. I'm a failure.
It is. And I think it comes down to human nature wanting to understand and quantify things. Exactly. We want to be able to give universal answer. We like statistics, believe it or not. Mm. Our brain functions well if we can like put something, oh, you need to have this much set hours of sleep. You must burn so many calories. Mm. And we like to like do that. But for the most part, you are not a statistic on a board. You are a human being that lives in different spaces with different demands, different set of things your body needs. We don't look the same. We don't weigh the same. We don't do the same things. So it is going to be different for all of us. Yeah. You are not a statistic. For sure. You are not.
Oh, my goodness. Cannot say that enough. Now, what about the intuitive eating? What is that? What does it involve? And can anyone adopt it?
Okay, so intuitive eating is about reconnecting with your body's natural signals for hunger, fullness, and satisfaction, rather than following a strict diet that tells you you can only eat at these specific times, or you can only have this much, or you should this or that. Your body, once again, is perfectly made to tell you what it needs when it needs it. It tells you it's thirsty because it wants you to drink water. It's telling you to eat because it's hungry. You've been doing something that requires more fuel, and therefore it's telling you to put more fuel in. So it involves rejecting the idea that weight alone determines health and honoring your hunger. It gives you that unconditional permission to eat and find joy in food without guilt. So while anyone can start practicing it, it does take time, especially if you've been influenced by years of diet culture.
Yeah.
And for some people, especially those recovering from eating disorders, it may require guidance from a therapist or a dietitian, because you have trained your brain to believe these very irrational beliefs about food, and they do cause anxiety. So for people suffering from mental health disorders, when they kind of get into this intuitive eating, they've learned not to trust themselves. They've learned not to trust their body.
Yes.
So getting back into that trusting your body can be very fearing or fear-mongering sometimes. So it might sometimes need to be done under guidance.
Mm. I thought so as well when I, you know, I'm thinking about intuitive eating. If I already have an unhealthy relationship, and how do I trust my body? How do I trust that I am actually hungry, and I'm not just wanting comfort food, for example? Or how do I trust that I've had enough, and I'm not like panicking that no, I've had too much, and I'm counting the calories, and I'm, you know, how do I know? So the fact that there is guidance out there, you can actually have someone take you step by step until you learn how to trust your body once again.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
I remember my brother arguing about drinking water. And he says, you know how the body tells you that you're hungry, and that's kind of a healthy way to nourish your body. When it's healthy, when it's hungry, you go and eat food. Why is it they tell us that, no, by the time you get thirsty, you're already dehydrated? You must actually not feel thirst. You must just drink water all day so that you don't actually experience thirst. He's like, I think God gave us thirst so that we know now it's time to drink. So this whole idea of 8 glasses a day, 2 liters a day, no, forget about that. I'm going to drink when I feel thirsty. I'm like, I'm not sure about that.
Boogie, I am restraining myself. I think I'm going to have a bleeding tongue because I have to bite down so hard. Because it is, it's so true. You know, you see it when I was at school, it was a fashion thing to be walking around with these water bottles. And I see it's coming back now. Like you have to have a Stanley and you have to like drink this liters and liters of water.
Of course.
And you don't. Your body is once again, can't preface this enough today. Your body is perfectly made. You get fluids through the food you eat, through other things you drink. You don't just have to drink water to hydrate yourself. Is water good for you? Yes. Should we drink water? Of course. Should you only drink water by the liters per day? No, you don't.
Oh my goodness. Always starts off as a really good idea, and then we take it all the way left. Anyway.
Definitely.
Now, how can people shift now from fear-based eating to enjoyment, to balance? Even sometimes even the idea of enjoying it, like, I shouldn't be enjoying this. This is just, you know, even when Yolanda tells us that food is fuel for the body, it's fuel. It's not supposed to be something enjoyable. It's just something functional. It has its job. It's not for my enjoyment. How do you get away from that?
Well, it starts with awareness. And Bongi, why can't food sometimes be for enjoyment?
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with enjoying food. It's all about moderation. It's all about understanding. And that's where, once again, that awareness comes in. So notice when you're making food decisions, is it coming from a place of fear and rules rather than a place from preference or hunger or a place from enjoyment? Because if we're honest, let's sit here and say, you know what, is a pastry with a lot of butter and cake and frosting the most healthy thing under the sun? Of course not. Mm. Does that mean now I have to avoid cake? Because also, no, it's about understanding, it's about balance. So challenge those food myths you have and replace them with evidence-based information. Practice mindful eating. So mindful eating is the process, instead of just gulping down your food or being focused on something else while you're eating, slow down, savor the taste, tune in on how your body feels, chew your food, be aware of how your body feels before and after eating. And then over time, the more you experience food as a source of pleasure and fuel and less fear, it will stop controlling your choices in that regard.
And what role does media literacy play in filtering out toxic food messages? They're everywhere.
Like I said, Bongi, I'm holding myself back today. But media literacy helps us question the unrealistic body ideals and nutrition claims we see online and in advertising. And that's what you need to understand. When you're looking at a TikTok, when you're looking at a social media post and someone is telling you, you must be avoiding this because it's bad for you, I can with 99.999% accuracy almost guarantee somewhere further in that video, they are going to talk about some type of product, some type of tea, some type of powder, some type of machine that you have to purchase and buy, which, or a meal plan or a link in their bio, which is going to give you all of the information. And that is almost a stamp of Yolanda approval that it's a hoax.
Right.
It's about selling the product. It's not about your health. So it means recognizing when a post or an ad is designed to sell you a product rather than promote health. And it's understanding that most images are filtered, staged, or selectively edited. What you see, what I choose to put out there, is not me in my natural state. It's very much curated. Mm-hmm. It's very much me presenting to you how I want to be seen. And that is not necessarily the truth. So by developing that critical eye, when we can reduce the pressure to compare ourselves to these creators and the versions and realities that are out there, we can make better choices that is actually for our own well-being and for our own good. So that is so very important.
I literally saw one quote-unquote health guru talking about how vegetables are actually not good for you. And I was like, wait. How did we get here? Not too long ago, we were told that we should eat only vegetables and protein. That's what they told us. Dump the carbs, no carbs. Carbs are the devil. So now it's just meat and vegetables. Then now it's changed. No, actually drop the vegetables. You should just be eating meat and eggs. I was like, wait, what's happening? What is going on here? I can't keep up.
And a few years ago, it was carbo load. You know, before you exercise, you need to carbo load and just eat carbs. And now carbs are the worst thing for you. And no, you need all the food groups. You need protein. You need vegetables. You need all of this.
Yeah.
It's just, oh, no, I'm keeping calm today.
It really is a lot. And you, sometimes, especially if you're watching them like one after the other, the way that they're all contradicting each other. This one says, no, it's actually this. This is actually the best way to eat. No, no, you need this tea. This tea is going to give you, you know, the best feeling ever. This one is going to, you know, if you're bloated or whatever, this is the tea to drink. No, no, no. You just need a gallon of water every day. You need, oh, my word, my word. I can't scream.
I saw one the other day where this lady was like, no, she's just eating this meat and she hasn't farted in like days. I'm like, that's problematic.
Not a good
that
thing.
Is really bad. That, like, you should go see a doctor about that. You should be farting. So no, these health claims can sometimes be ridiculous, ridiculous. And you need food groups. They need to connect with each other. They work together. We haven't gone this far. You know, I always tell people, you know, we didn't get this far and survive this long if our bodies weren't made perfectly for us to be able to deal with what it is that we need and ask for what we need. We didn't have all these machines and vitamins and coffee enemas and all these weird and wonderful things that people are selling us hundreds of years ago. So I would always just say, keep a rational mind, keep a rational mind. And if you really are worried about something and you really want to know more, do your research, read up about it. Mm-hmm. Like, don't take someone else's on TikTok's advice. Do your own research, find out more about it.
Absolutely. And this is a very important one for parents out there. Like I said, for me, the first time I heard my daughter talking about this, I panicked. Like, oh, I don't want this. I don't want this for you. But how do parents model a healthy relationship with food for their children?
Okay, so children learn more from what we do than what we say. So make sure that what you say and that what you do match up. But parents can model balance by eating a wide variety of food. So that's number one. Don't just restrict yourself. Ensure that foods aren't villains. It's obviously in moderation. Enjoy treats without shame. Oh, you know what? It's this day and I want a treat and I'm enjoying a treat. Mm. And having those conversations that I'm not having this treat every day because I'm having it in moderation, but I can enjoy this treat.
Yeah.
And avoiding negative talk about their own bodies or weight. Mm. So, you know, after eating something, avoid saying things like, oh, now I've eaten so much, I'm going to roll down the street. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to fit into my clothes. Mm. You're subconsciously giving that message that it's a bad thing. It's bad if my body doesn't look a specific way or it gets to the point where I have eaten too much. And it starts a conversation internally with, can I trust my body to tell me when I'm full? Mm. Should I listen to my body when I tell it it's hungry? So instead of using food as reward or punishment, this is another thing that's really, really irks me. If you eat all your food, you can't have if you don't eat all your food, you don't have ice cream or you can't have ice cream. Or if you do this, you can have this treat. Sometimes it can be very negative to use. And hear me, sometimes, you know, we don't ruin our children by making one mistake or saying the wrong thing sometimes in the heat of the moment. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we don't want to use food as punishments or rewards. Make mealtimes positive and a relaxed experience. Involve children in cooking, grocery shopping, and learning where food comes from. I think a lot of our anxiety around food and the choices we make of food is because we have become so disconnected from where our food comes from, how our food is made, and what goes into the food making process.
Yeah.
We're very much into processed food, grabbing something on the go, and a lot of these anxieties and things can be avoided if we just reconnect with that basic fundamental understanding of why do we need food? Mm. Where does food come from? What type of foods do we need? What is their purpose? Building that curiosity and confidence around eating can sometimes be very good, because when you're bombarded by these messages and information coming from outside telling you that you should be doing this, you have a fundamental base to jump off of to say, you know what, I hear you, but carbs in moderation isn't bad for me. Sugar in moderation isn't bad for me. I need to eat vegetables. I need to eat fruit. Mm. So it also helps you to sift through the charlatans a little bit.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then another thing that's also that's important is that It's an interesting fact that I learned the other day, like our plate sizes, just the, how big are they made our plates for the, like the past 50 years, the plate sizes have increased by like 25 to 40%. I might be quoting those wrong, but we've, our plates, our crockery has become so big. And then we still have these cultural belief systems that when you dish up, you have to have a full plate of food and you have to finish that plate of food, you know, like eat everything on your food. No, if you are full, you don't have to eat further. Only dish up. You can always go back. If it's food wastage that you're concerned about, put less on your plate, eat until you're full. If you're still hungry, go get more. It's really about learning to trust your body.
Beautiful. Well, I thank you so much. And one thing I'm noticing in everything that you've talked about is that it's all, it's not about the size or the shape of your body. It's just all about, you know, having that healthy relationship, nourishing the body. It's not about how it looks. It's not about, like you said, rewarding or punishing yourself, but it's just building that healthy relationship. Thank you so much, Yolanda. Final thoughts before we say goodbye.
Remember, food is fuel. Your body needs it. Be kind to each other, and may you all have a blessed Sabbath.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.